there's the sound of intentional living. The door's open. Come on in. We're all about having the kind of relationships that God intends for us to have, first of all with Him and then with others. And today, that's where we're going to camp as we got questions coming in. And a little bit later, we're going to have some fun because we have some people who are joining us to share their one thing. You know, the one thing is kind of paramount to what we do here at Intentional Living. They're going to talk about their one thing for their life and the difference it's making. You're looking for an uplift today, some encouragement. You're looking for something to help you. This is where you want to be. And we got some calls we'll get to in a moment. By the way, if you have a comment you'd like to share, you're welcome to do so at 888-888-1717. Take you right to our comment line. So let's get started. First off, we have Chantel in Arizona. How can I help you be intentional, especially in your relationships today? Go right ahead.
My question is, how can I intentionally move forward with my marriage? I cheated on my husband. I confessed it to him. He's very angry, but he has chosen to stay with me and try to forgive me. And I need to know what I can do intentionally to show him that I'm sorry and that I want forgiveness and I'd like to move forward with Christ.
Well, Chantel, first of all, thank you. You guys both declared your intention to say, this is crummy. I mean, this isn't what God honors, and it certainly messes up our relationship. But we're going to give God a chance and each other a chance to see where we go. One of the reasons divorce is so prevalent after an affair is for the very thing you're talking about. You know, we turn on television. Sometimes you see a show, and there's some sort of illicit relationship outside of marriage or an affair. And sometimes you see the results of it in reality, and sometimes it's a Hollywood version. But it's painful, and you know that. Those of you who have been through it, it's terrible. And I'd say to you, Chantel, the fact that your husband has said, let's work on it, is huge. I think maybe part of this is going to be you forgiving yourself, building some accountability into your life, find out what happened, God, let God heal your life, change you. Here's what I look at. When we get a scar, I mean, you've been cut, you got a scar, right? It's always there. You see it. But one of the things about a scar, it gets a little tough. And sometimes it gets tough because it protects the pain underneath. And so expect that there'll be an element of a scar in your life. It's not exactly where you thought it would be. And that's okay. We get scarred in life, but God is a God of forgiveness, restoration. I love the verse, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So just keep moving, get in counseling, get to the root of the issues, and just take it one day at a time. Don't rush it. It's a process. I've seen it take 3-5 years or more to rebuild. Okay, Dale's in Michigan today. By the way, if you want to share a question or comment or a one thing, call our storyline, 888-888-1717. Dale has a question from Michigan. Go right ahead, Dale.
I'm a 61-year-old male who's divorced. I have 3 children. I have real difficulty in relating to the 2 youngest ones who really aren't living a Christian life. And my ex-wife made the comment constantly that if I really loved them, then I would accept their lifestyle of premarital sex and everything else that they're involved in. And I have a hard time trying to figure out how I can convince them that I don't accept their lifestyle, but I still love them. It's very difficult. And I just wondered if you could give me some help.
Oh, damn. God love you, brother. Hear this a lot. I mean, here's 3 kids. It's like one stays connected and a couple of them get disconnected. And, you know, there's history, I'm sure, of relationship and probably issues. And I mean, if we sat down and talked face to face, brother, you'd probably share some things that would fill in some of the blanks of how you've gotten here with these young adult children who are now saying, you know, basically, I'm not interested. Especially if you were pretty black and white in terms of this is right, this is wrong with them growing up and didn't have a loving firmness in parenting. And sometimes kids choose to live in a certain way. They know they're disappointing mom and dad and the pain is too much. And so it's easier just to keep a distance in the relationship. I mean, look at the prodigal. The prodigal just decided to pack up and leave. Obviously, he couldn't live there and live like that. And it wasn't until he got to the end of himself and realized that's not where he wanted to be. That's not the life he wanted. living in the big pen that he decided to come home to dad. And dad has arms wide open. I think that's the biggest model, Dale, is just your kids know you don't approve of their lifestyle, and your wife is partly right. I mean, the part of saying, hey, I would need to love my children and accept them, but you don't need to accept their lifestyle. I mean, you're not going to bring it into your home. You're not going to embrace it. The prodigal, when he came home, didn't bring the pigs with him, but he brought some of the dirt that was still left on him that needed to be cleaned off. And probably dad helped clean it off. So I think that's a picture. You know, you don't bring the pig pen home with you, but when you're ready to connect, we're here and love you. No matter how dirty your life is, we love you. And I think that's a basic message, Dale. And you got this big male voice. I mean, it's a big, strong voice. And sometimes, you know, as guys, sometimes even that can be overpowering to kids. I mean, it can be intimidating. I don't know if that makes any sense, Dale, but I do know this. Embrace those kids. Just let them know you love them. They already know you disapprove of the decisions they're making, but because you love them and you're concerned, and see what God does. You can't force it. All right. We're talking intentional living here today. We're talking about relationships. In a minute, we're going to talk about the power of one thing, where we see how one thing, starting out with making one thing, like Dale, we gave you some things there. Pick one thing and do it, you know. Maybe it's just to send them a card or pick up the phone or text them or however you communicate and just say, hey, I was thinking of you today. I love you. Wow, that was dad, you know. But doing that next right one thing. All right, we're going to get to some of those in a moment. You're welcome to join in with yours on our storyline at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute, and I have a question from a listener that says, what do you mean, Randy, when I hear you talk about parent up and power down? Great question. What I mean by it is simple. Grow a parenting backbone. God has placed you in a position of authority in your home. But you don't do that by default into being powerful, because powerful parenting creates a negative environment, and it often creates powerful children as well. In fact, in all my experience over the years, if I see a really powerful child, there's usually a powerful parent nearby. So can I encourage you intentionally when you're parenting to keep your cool, set clear expectations and boundaries, and then quietly follow through. And when you do, that's intentional living.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, this is Ann, and my one intentional thing is not using credit cards. It has really helped my husband and I come out of financial bondage, and it's so freeing.
Hi, my name is Christy, and I was just calling to say the one thing that I would love to work on over the year is my reaction to other people's words. I would love to be able to show God's love instead of maybe getting angry or getting upset or taking offense.
My one thing is to stop eating so many carbs. I gotta stop. I you know. We all have something, don't we, that would be our one thing. Hey, we're talking about the power of one thing. We got some callers who want to share with us. I think Jan has a story to share with us. Jan, go right ahead.
My one thing is to adjust my thinking and to alleviate the disappointment that I often feel in my life. I can't put expectations on others that may not be their expectations in reality. And sometimes it felt like if I was going to give up that expectation of what I wanted, I was kind of giving up hope, or I was kind of giving up dreams. But it took me a while to figure out I'm not giving up anything. I'm matching the reality with the expectation, which makes life a whole lot easier. I have used Dr. Randy's formula in every walk of my life, especially relationships. And sometimes I'll come home and something didn't get done. And it was like, did you convey that that's what you wanted? Or was it an expectation you had that the reality was that person didn't even know you wanted that done? And then I was disappointed. So Dr. Randy's teaching on expectations minus reality equals disappointment truly has changed my life.
Mm. Well, thank you, Jan. And, you know, I heard that a lot of years ago when I was much younger, and I thought, wow, that really resonates. It's true. When expectations are bigger than, larger than in life than reality, it always creates disappointment. And then what do you do with disappointment? It can become discouragement, or it can become a declaration of intention to say, wow, I got to change reality or expectations. That's really a choice that we make. And I'm glad you're doing that, Jan. That's great. All right, Yvette is in Canada, listens online. Terrific. Hey, if you have friends, by the way, who are outside of one of the radio station areas, they can hear us online anywhere in the planet, on the planet. Just let them know. And we got opportunity to stream. You can stream the broadcast. They're all available at our website. And so you're welcome to do that. All right, so Yvette's in Canada, listens online. What's your one thing, Yvette? Go ahead.
My one thing is to change my thinking, change my negative thoughts to positive thoughts, because I realized that my thought pattern is very negative. I was very unhappy. Financial things would make me unhappy. I'm a single mom. I'm divorced for over 12 years now, and I do desire to have a spouse, and so sometimes I get lonely, and all of that would make me get unhappy. I happened to hear Dr. Randy Carlson talk about intentional living, and that's what inspired me to say, you know what, I can do this. I can change my thinking. So it's a daily process. I'm winning. I find it's easier now that I'm paying attention, and it's easy to change my outlook, and I'm much happier, more filled with joy because of that.
Mm. All right. Hey, thank you for, Yvette, thank you for calling. By the way, for listening as well, online. Glad to have online listeners. You're always welcome to correspond with us online. We love you guys. We're glad you're listening to Intentional Living. It is a life-changing message. More than a goal, really. A goal is, you know, to get up in the mornings to have a goal. You stay in the shower, you kind of have a goal, things you want to do. But an intention is something that's deeper. It's richer. It's kind of like, this is my intention. And you know, sometimes you declare your intention without even knowing what the goal is. You know, your intention is, hey, I want to have a great marriage, but I don't know how to get there. And you have to declare your intention. I want to grow in my relationship with Christ. Where do I start? You know, I want to get out of debt. Where, how do I begin? And that's part of intentional living, is declaring the intention, then developing the right kind of godly habits, daily life that makes a difference. By the way, if you just joined us, we're talking relationships today. And right now, the power of one thing is people are sharing with us how one thing is making a difference in their life. Let me ask you. As you hear these, here's the purpose here as we do this. In a moment, Matthew's going to share his one thing. Not sure what it is, but we'll hear it when he does. Maybe it'll motivate you to say, hey, I can do that. That's one thing I can do in my life. I think at the end of the day, we all want our lives to be better. And to get there, we've got to be intentional. You don't fall in to a better life. All right, Matthew, let's come on the line here from Michigan and tell us your story. Go right ahead.
My intentional one thing that I do every day, I started to just build people up. And sometimes even if I have to say something that they need to hear, I always, every time, bring out good points about them. What it has done is it has made it a habit in my life. I do this more than once a day now, and very often I get way more response than what I thought I would. And it has been a blessing in my life, and it made me do other one things along with that.
Hmm. Fantastic. Thank you, Matthew. Let's go to Jim, also in Michigan. What's your one thing, brother?
I'm calling regarding one thing that we could do every day to change our marriage, and that would be for us to pray every night together. Just spend 5 minutes every night before we go to bed and in prayer together. Satan hates it when couples pray, and it's so powerful. The Lord blesses you so much.
Thank you, Jim. You're right. Got time for one more? Let's get Barbara on from New Mexico. What's your one thing story, Barbara?
This is Barbara, and my one thing has been finances and making sure that I tithe and give offerings. And I just got a $3.64 check, which I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it is, from the administrating checking account overdraft administrators that was made out to me. So, I mean, this is just an example of the Lord blessing.
All right. Hey, listen, remember that song, Count Your Many Blessings? Name them one by one. I'm getting the look. Okay. You remember the song, though? Yeah, we used to sing it in Sunday school, and I think what Barbara's doing is $3.64. Thank you, Lord. Be thankful for those things that sometimes are small, but they can be a meaningful and reminder of God's intentional love for us. Very powerful. By the way, right now, in fact, if you want to share your one thing, here's what we do. We have our storyline where people share, here's what God's doing in my life. Here's my one thing. Here's my question. And we get them on the air. And so you're welcome to fill it up until the box is full. All right? And we'd love to hear from you wherever you're listening. All you have to do is call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, and tell us your question or share your one thing with us. Okay? All right, got some more questions we'll be getting to here in just a couple minutes.
I came across intentional living. I went through a very difficult time, and my word for the year was intentionality. And being able to hear a radio station that promotes or encourages intentionality was like, thank you, Lord.
Maybe you're like Patricia. Life has been difficult, but listening to Intentional Living encourages you and helps you get through your day.
With your support, people like Patricia have the tools to live an intentional life for Christ. And now you can access many of Dr. Randy's exclusive teachings on various topics whenever you want.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive monthly teachings from the past 2 years.
So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for just listening to me and helping my heart today. And I want to tell you something that you need to hear because of what you do, and you're like Paul Harvey, you get the rest of the story. I've been listening to you for a long time. And I tell everybody this, and I tell everybody listen to your show, that you've made me a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better neighbor, a better human being, you and the people that you have on, that you have just, through God, strengthened me. And I am such a better person today because of your show. So please keep doing what you do.
Hey, listen, Roland, I appreciate that, and I am encouraged by it when you share. And I was thinking as I heard your spot that you recorded, how that made me feel. I feel encouraged. We're talking about relationships today. Just imagine, like Roland, if you were to turn to your wife, your husband, or to your kids, coworker, parents, whoever's in your life that's important, and you were to speak into their lives like Roland spoke into mine. The difference that would make. Hey, honey, I appreciate you. I know we have disputes sometimes, and we're not on the same page, and maybe we're going through a tough time right now, but I just want you to know I love you and I appreciate you. I'm telling you, just what I experience when I hear a comment, they'll experience times 10. And it's a simple thing as it comes from your heart. It's genuine. Can I encourage you as we think about doing the next right one thing in our intentional relationships, that you would be intentional in doing that in the lives of those you love? Just a little side note here. Hey, listen, before we get back to the show, I just want to thank those of you who are supporting the ministry. We can't do this without your help. As you join us monthly, we'll make sure you get the exclusive teaching page access. So you get all the teaching from the last couple of years from Intentional Living, my monthly teaching, and with our thanks. And how do you do that? Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, press number 2. Or you can go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Boy, we'd love to have you be a part of the ministry. We need for you. I welcome you to be a part of the ministry. All right, let's get back to the calls. Hannah's on the line with a question. Hannah, welcome to the show. How can I help?
My question is, what is the one thing that I'm not doing? When I've turned my life around, I pray 20 times a day, at least. I read the Bible every day, and I really feel like my connection with God is strong. My relationship with God is strong. I praise Him in church every week. And that really turned everything around, but I feel like there's still one thing missing, and there's a big void, and I really don't know what that is. And I know that all my answers I can find in the Word, so I read the Bible every day and look for them. And if I can't find them, I understand that I am not in control, and sometimes things are going the way that they're supposed to go.
Mm. Oh, well, thank you, Anna, from Connecticut, listening in Connecticut. You know, we had a lesson here a number of months ago, a couple years ago maybe, about the difference between being and doing. And that being needs to precede doing. And when we get that backward and we start doing things without being something or being someone, we can feel hollow. Then it's a very performance-oriented kind of intentionality. And I think it's an important lesson. I think your call reminds me, Anna, that we never want to miss the fact that, hey, I'm reading the Bible and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing the next thing. I'm doing all these right things, and yet I still feel kind of empty and hollow, and I'm still not feeling real good about my life and things. Doing things isn't going to get you there. Read the book of Ephesians. I won't get too deep in this. I have a whole lesson on this, but the first three chapters of Ephesians, it's all about being, who you are in Christ, your position in Christ, your security in Christ, and it's a very powerful. First three chapters of Ephesians are very life-affirming. Then you start in verse 1 of chapter 4, the last three chapters of Ephesians, 4, 5, and 6, Paul starts that chapter with therefore. In other words, therefore, because of you being in Christ, who you are in Christ, therefore, husbands, love your wife. He goes on to talk about be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be angry and do not sin, don't let any profanity come out of your mouth. And so all of these doing things in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, it just ain't going to help a whole lot. It really isn't, unless you get a deep understanding of chapters 1, 2, and 3. Because the first part of that letter sets the stage for the last part of that letter. All right, I hope that helps, Anna. Read it. I just encourage you to get Ephesians, read the first three chapters, really immerse yourself into who you are in Christ, your position in Christ, and then the doing part will just kind of take its course. All right, thank you. Let's go. Do we have time? Jessica in Michigan, how can I help you be intentional today? Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Mandy. I was wondering ways to be more intentional, like you're talking about. For instance, I'm a nurse and I work in a long-term care setting and I work 12 hours on midnight. So I don't get a lot of interaction with staff or the people that are actually there. So I was just wondering extra ways that I could be intentional through God at work.
Hmm. Wow. That's a good question. Today, man, you think about, I was listening to an interview earlier about today, our culture is so politicized and everything that's occurred in our nation. I mean, if you're in a work environment where you have people with different backgrounds and different persuasions and different political views, I mean, you can breathe the wrong way and probably get a debate going or an argument. And so it's tricky. I mean, you bring up things about, quote, religion, and that can be very problematic in work as well. So why do I say that? I think two things. One is work is work. You're there to work, really do it with excellence. So people say, wow, you know, that Jessica really goes above and beyond. She shows a lot of love and care beyond what others do. I don't hear her complaining about her work, complaining about her boss. She's just doing it. And that's powerful. And let your life sort of shine. Let it be an example. And then when people say, hey, can we have lunch together, or you're out away from work, or you're spending time, you can start to talk about what God has been doing in your life. And people will gravitate to you who are drawn to saying, wow, there's something about Jessica that I want to know more about, who she is, what makes her tick. All right. Very good. Thank you, Jessica. I think I got time for Dan. Dan's been waiting in Alaska with a story. Go right ahead, Dan.
About 23 years ago, my wife and I moved to Alaska, and it turned out that that was a huge offense to her because she left her new best friend in California. She was just angry with me for months and months, and nothing I could do was any good. And finally, I was just in desperation, and I prayed to God, Lord, I want to love Rita, and your word commands me to love my wife, but I don't have any love left. You're going to have to give me your love for her. And he did. It just filled my heart with love for her, and I kept showing it every way I could. And her initial response was suspicion that rejection of it, but eventually his love softened her. We've had the happiest marriage I know of, and we're married now for 43 years because Jesus filled my heart with love and replaced my lack of love with his love.
Wow, thank you, Dan. Coming through loud and clear from Alaska, appreciate that. You know, I think you give an example of what we teach. We do conferences on for couples, and one of the things I teach is about intentional love. In other words, it's love in action. I'm actually going to do it. And you really demonstrated that.
All over the media and the music and everything, they say, make love, make love, make love. You cannot make love because God is love.
Oh, where does that kind of love come from? They say that it runs in this blood.
And every place in the Bible, I read about love. And I learned that there's only one kind of love, and that's the love that Jesus Christ shows for us.
Ooh, I want to find that kind of love. They say that it runs in his blood.
And I also realized that God, Jesus Christ, put this love between us. He gave me the love for my wife, and he gave the love to her for me. And that was something that had to be cherished every single day and nurtured every single day.
Ooh, where can I find that kind of love?
As I listen to that song, hearing about love, what is love? We're talking about relationships today. You know, I get a privilege to go out and do conferences, and we had sold out conferences this year for couples in Albuquerque, East Lansing, and in Detroit, Michigan. But I know most of you didn't get a chance to be there from around the country. So let me give you in the last minute of the show the four things that I believe about intentional relationships. Number one, have realistic expectations, because expectation minus reality will equal disappointment. Number two, communicate. God wants us to be good listeners and slow to speak. It'll change your marriage. Number three, come to an agreement. Get on the same page. Have goals that you share. And then number four, develop love habits. Every day, what one thing can you do habitually that'll make the best positive impact in your marriage relationship? Well, we've got to run. Thanks for being a part of the show. If you have a comment, leave it with us at 888-888-1717 for Jennifer and Stephen and the team. God bless you, and we'll see you next time right here from our Intentional Living Center in Tucson.